For our second paper, it is to be presented by Ronnie Lobo from Curaçao. Ronnie Lobo studied at the University of Delft in the Netherlands, where he was influenced by one of his professors, the architect Aldo van Eyck, and the issues of modernism and humanism. Ronnie is an expert in the history of modern architecture in both the Netherlands and in the Dutch Caribbean. And he has lectured in Cuba, Puerto Rico, Martinique, and Colombia, and has been a jury member for a number of architectural competitions in Trinidad, Puerto Rico, the Bahamas, and Martinique. He is one of the leading architects in Curaçao, where he has won the highest cultural award, the Cola d'Oro Award, for his contribution to architecture. In addition, he is the current president of FCAA, the Federation of Caribbean Associations of Architects. This is the organization that brings together the architects from the English-speaking, the French-speaking, the Spanish-speaking, and the Dutch-speaking Caribbean territories. So let us welcome Ronnie Lobo.
Thank you. Well, I'm very honored to be invited by MoMA and UTEC to speak at this important conference. I truly hope that this conference will contribute to the continuous debate on our profession. Maybe it's just a coincidence, but very recently a DocuMoMo group was formed in the Antilles to document and protect the beautiful buildings built in a certain period of time. Where do I press? No. Louis Kahn, the famous architect, said, "Architecture does not exist. What does exist is the work of architecture." Did he mean that architecture does not exist in itself, but starts with the appreciation of the built form and environment by the people who inhabit these? This was the building in the past. I will start my lecture by giving a short overview of the Dutch presence in the Caribbean and the resulting Dutch influence in culture, industry, trade, and more specifically its architecture. You will see some excellent examples of the modernist architecture of the last century in Curaçao, including works by Dutch architects working for the government and the Royal Shell Oil Refinery, and later the work by local architects. Due to time constraint, I will have to limit myself to the architecture in Curaçao and cannot include the buildings on the other islands of the Netherlands Antilles or in Suriname, which was also Dutch. Most of the older buildings that I will show appear on the list that was put up recently by this DocuMoMo group. The picture that you see is a picture of Willemstad, our capital, which consists of two parts, Punda, you can read it, and at the other side of the Anna Bay, Otra Banda. This Dutch presence started in 1634 when the Dutch conquered the islands of the Netherlands Antilles from the Spaniards in search of salt for their fish industry. For a short period, the islands were also governed by the English, and even the French made three attempts to conquer Curaçao. Curaçao, the biggest of the six islands, and since colonial times most important, has the strongest Dutch influence in culture, industry, and trade. By the way, this is the other side of the Anna Bay, Otra Banda. I will show you later on a project that we did there. Thanks to its authentic architecture with Dutch characteristics, the capital, Willemstad, has been nominated by the United Nations as World Heritage City in 1997. The two halves, Pune and Otra Banda, form a remarkable city with an outstanding beauty. Pune has always been the business center, while Otra Banda was more for living. During a certain period, Pune was enclosed by a city wall that was erected for defense purposes. The limited space within the wall forced the Dutch military engineers to careful planning along a grid system. Otra Banda, on the other hand, grew in a more spontaneous way according to people's needs. This, combined with the different topography of the area, gave Otra Banda a great liveliness. Similar to what happened on most of the other colonized islands, the government was centrally directed from the mother country, and most know-how, including the art of building, came from these countries. A typical way of building developed, originating in Holland, but adapted to the local climate. This architecture showed a remarkable consistency up to 1930. Only around 1900, a Latin American Art Nouveau style with certain grandeur started to develop in newer neighborhoods. One of the first examples of modernist architecture in Curaçao was the head office of the KNSM, a Dutch shipping company that you will see in a while, built in 1939. The building was designed by an unknown architect that was clearly inspired by this building that was done by the famous Dutch architect Willem de Dock. This is the town hall in Hilversum. And this is the building in Curaçao of this shipping company. The same counts for different other buildings in Curaçao. Later followed by a few examples of Art Deco, like the Cinelandia Open Air Theater that you see here, by Pieter Stuyvenberg in 1941. While architectural activists did not succeed to save another theater in Art Deco style by the same hand from demolition, the Cinelandia Theater, as you see, still remains, but is in very bad state of repair. Stuyvenberg was the director of the water distribution company and not trained as an architect. He made several utility buildings like water storage tanks on higher hilltops. The CPIM, that was called later the Royal Shell, started an oil refinery in 1915, thanks to the magnificent enclosed harbor. The company was once the biggest in the world in the number of different oil products. It was not only the most important economic pillar on the island, but also had a strong influence on its island architecture. This building is the head office, up to now, of the refinery, which is now in Venezuelan hands. And it was done by the in-house architect, Abspoel, from Holland, in around 1940. Followed by this building, this is the building of the laboratories, by the same architect. You can see that both buildings have a very tropical appearance, and you can see a similar appearance in buildings in Indonesia, which was also colonized by the Dutch. They also made housing projects, so the our company, and this is one of the houses in which I have my own office now. This was done by Cornelis Bakker, a Dutch architect who arrived in 1939 and was the first professionally trained architect living in Curaçao. He was employed by the Department for Public Works, where he designed most of the important public buildings and schools between 1939 and 1952, when he emigrated to Canada. By pure coincidence, I met his son at a conference in Turkey, and he's also an architect and he also lives in Canada. In 1944, he left the government to work for the oil company, and that was when he designed the houses. This building that you see here was the public library and cultural center, and it has just been restored. So this is the state where it's in now, at this moment. This is also a building by Kees Bakker, the same architect. It was just a shop selling building materials. This is a school that was also renovated a couple of years ago. And after Kees Bakker, another for us famous architect came to Curaçao called Ben Smith. This is his own house designed in 1948. So you can imagine in that time it was very modern. I think you could repeat this even now and nobody will see that it's an old building. Ben Smith has an equally impressive record as an architect. There was one famous Dutch architect, really famous, who made just one building in Curaçao and several other details for other buildings, which is called Gerrit Liedveld. I know most of you know this architect. One of his famous houses is even World Heritage now, in Utrecht. He made this building for an institute for disabled people, and the building is not more than a big roof under which all activities take place. During the period of the 40s to the 60s, there were only these two architects, Bakker and Ben Smith, who made most of the designs on the island. And sometimes they were joined by a limited group of what I call traveling architects, who stayed 2-3 years on the island and then left. This is a school building designed by De Vries in, I think, around 1950. Kees Bakker and Ben Smith made a hospital too. The left picture is from Kees Bakker and the right picture is from Ben Smith. And you can see there is a remarkable difference in architectural style. While both buildings were built in almost the same period, so there was not a long period between the two buildings. All the buildings that they made were very suitable for their function and well adapted to the site and our climate. The same quality could only be displayed in incidents during years after. Architects of the next generations, like De Vries, Fresco, Alexenko, Nolte, Zenon, Julian, Badrako, were not really able to establish with their designs, although of high quality, an awareness of the general public for good architecture. This is also a house done by Ben Smith. Another school by De Vries. This is also remarkable because this school was done in 1954, and you can see there is a part, the higher part, that has a lot of glass exposed to the sun, which is not really a good climatic solution. But the same architect made, almost in the same year, this school. So there you can, let's say, suppose that the architect was like experimenting. Or maybe the client influenced him to make the one building and in the same time the other one. This is another building by Ben Smith in 1957. One of the latest school of that period is by Henk Nolte. This is a Protestant technical school. This is the state of the school at this moment, so it's well preserved. Ben Smith also made, together with Toro Ferrer from Puerto Rico, this hotel. That was the Hilton Hotel in Curaçao. Toro Ferrer was the architect of Hilton, and he worked together with Ben Smith on this project. Unfortunately, in this slide, you can see how they changed the facades just recently. So this was the building before, with prefabricated concrete elements, and this is the building now. Here you can see two buildings in an historical neighborhood. The left one done by my colleague here in the room, Ango van der Woude, and the right one done by Tom Janga, and that's a public library. not, as you can see in the difference between the two buildings, not all the architects follow the same philosophy. This is a detail of the public library with aluminum sunshading, a lot of glass, but with a large part of the building covering it. Not all the architects follow the same philosophy either, that the architectural expression should be a reflection of the climate. With the development of better glazing and insulation, it was possible to make this building, the Social Security building, as a glass box. Personally, I don't support the dependence on highly sophisticated materials or equipment to make buildings resist our tropical environment. The tradition to study architecture in the mother country still continues, due to favorable scholarships by government and the advantage of the language. Architects of the present generation are struggling for recognition from the majority of the population for their profession and the buildings they make. While they try to find an architectural language that is understood and appreciated by the general public, for the sake of their existence, they often copy any style that the clients want. The architect's title and or profession are not protected by law, and the majority of the buildings are not designed by professionally trained architects. Spontaneous architecture by non-professional architects, for example, for single-family houses, has always been a part of the architectural landscape, but now seems to have expanded to the bigger and more expensive dwellings, and also to commercial buildings. Superficial consumer design has almost become a standard for most buildings on the island, including institutional projects. Bad design is supposedly compensated by the use of expensive materials and strong colors, while the failures in climate-efficient design are compensated by more powerful air conditioning units, which have become even cheaper. The government lost its role as a trendsetter by giving the best examples of how to build. Instead, public entities rent expensive office spaces built by project developers with no architectural qualities or whatsoever. And the great opportunities to let local architects show their talents are neglected. For the new headquarters of the central bank that you see on this slide, an unknown American interior designer was hired. Just after this mistake, the prison was done also by an American architect. Unknown. The latest doubtful example of letting others design our future monuments is the new terminal building of the airport. While the old airport building was beautifully designed by Kees Bakker, the new building is a bad copy of historical shapes in order to give the building that typical Curaçao look. Okay, ending, I will give you some examples of my own work. How many minutes do I have? 5 minutes? Okay. Of all the Dutch architects, of whom several were my professors at the Delft University, I think the most influential on my career was Aldo van Eyck. Not during my studies, but afterwards. I support his humanist approach towards architecture and his theories of the dual phenomena, the in-between realm, the threshold, and the configurative. This, by the way, is my own house in Curaçao. I agree with Aldo van Eyck that a failure of utilitarian functionalism was a lack of attention for these phenomena. I was also influenced by the work of Rietveld. Of the older Caribbean architects, I'm most inspired by the organic architecture of the Cuban architect Ricardo Porro. It was a surprise to me that in the program he called me an organic architect. I didn't know that I was that. Okay, I'll save you this part. In 1991, the governmental institution for public housing organized a competition for housing and shopping in a very dilapidated area of Otrabanda. I had the honor to win this competition together with my Venezuelan colleague, Domenico Silvestro. Here you can see the street.
Do you have the bunker?
This is the street where the buildings have been built, and this is our project. As you see, the skyline differs a lot between lower buildings and higher buildings. What we did is simply take the historical buildings and try to take this constraint as a joy. And what we did is to copy these twin houses at the other side of the street, to mirror them in this part, and to put next to it a higher building that joins to this higher building that's up there. This is a passage to go into the neighborhood. It's a pity that I cannot show you more slides, but so the picture that you just saw was there, and you walk through this building, through the passage, and then enter this area. And these housing blocks we made as new housings, and this is a restoration that we did. So it's in the heart of the historical center of Otrabanda. And this is the architecture that we made. We made individual towers because we discovered that most of the buildings are individual buildings, so there are no large blocks of houses. In the latest years, I tried to experiment with more organic forms, like this very small office building that lies between two streets, this street and that street. And it was very simple because they needed the parking at one side for the public and the same amount of cars at the other side for the staff. So I made the hall in the middle with the highest roof and with two entrances from both sides. And this is the image of the building. It's just a large saddle roof that curves and heightens as it opens. This is another part. And in the center, you have the highest part of the roof. I like to dedicate time to details because I think that these details really form the architecture too and cannot be neglected. This is a building that we made in a competition. Unfortunately, we lost. But this is an office building of about 4,000 square meters, and we made it as a flower of ellipses. And the ellipse was apparently in my head. So in the latest extension of a school, I made this, I made this where three big classrooms for cultural activities are staggered like this. And because the land goes up, the blocks go up too. And the gallery is here in front. And this is one of my latest works. That's a house for my sister, which is situated on a very steep piece of land. And what we did is project the garage. You see the house consists of, in fact, two peanuts. This peanut and that one. That are joined together with the stairs in between. And this part has two stories. Underneath you see the garage here. So the balcony that's here. Yeah, I'm almost finished. And you see that the roof goes up in the middle, that's here. And I had to support the roof with a large beam. And I didn't want to see a massive beam up there. So I made a space frame that works well in the space. And through the glass that's here on the sliding doors, you can see the beam continuing to the outside, which I never thought about. So that's pure coincidence that it happened. And this is the latest. This is a utility project, a sound reflecting wall around the school, and we simply try to make a joyful element around the school out of this function. So we analyzed what we had to do for the sound, and we had to make these horizontal. We had to make these horizontal beams, and this wall, amazing wall, needs columns every 3 meters. So we made the columns, but we joined the beams with the columns in a certain way that a joyful design came out. Thank you.